I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Gaizka Mendieta, and you listen to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Pablo Machin. This is La Liga Lowdown.
And I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Reda Sakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. Another weekend of high drama in Spain's top division on match day 12. So here's a taster of what's coming up inside the next half an hour. Barcelona are beaten by Betis. It's a first home league defeat for Los Culés in 26 months. Here's Roman.
I think self-destruction defines Sunday's Barcelona really well. Collectively, the team wasn't in sync at all when defending, and Betis managed to exploit that.
Well, Atletico Madrid come from behind twice to defeat Athletic Club at home. Ewan explains how, sort of.
It was such a strange game. Not only were Atletico Madrid involved in a five-goal thriller, which is rare for Diego Simeone's 1-0 lovers, but the goal scorer was an injured centre-back playing as a centre-forward.
At Balaidos, Real Madrid win, so they make Santi Solari permanent coach, but Celta lose, so they sack Antonio Mohamed and replace him with Miguel Cardozo. Alex tells us about the new man.
He started coaching in Porto's academy, had been assistant at Celta's main rival, Depor. This is a smart man with brilliant language skills who likes an offensive type of football that should suit Celta's squad perfectly.
And Valencia make it back-to-back wins in all competitions for the first time this season. Paco says they might just have turned the corner.
Valencia's form isn't top-notch, that's true, but it's slowly improving as they keep defending pretty tightly and allowing few, if any, gold.
And there's all your three-word verdicts. That's all on the way. Well, more on the third managerial change in La Liga later on in this mini-pod, but we have to start at the Camp Nou, where Real Betis went to Barcelona and taught them a lesson in attacking possession. Yes, you heard that right. It was a mad match. Betis winning by the odd goal in seven.
Worked inside. That's a lovely through ball as well to Junior Firpo from Carvalho. He needs some support. He might have to go on his own here. And it's in. Betis on the break. And they break the deadlock in the Camp Nou. Again, there's a little bit of space with the runners through the middle. Look at Moron and Joaquim, all out to the left instead. It's behind everybody. Teo arriving though. Joaquim, 2-0. The talisman is on the score sheet. Messi back to Alba once again. Now he's brought down from behind. Teo made contact. Was it inside the box? Messi against Paul Lopez, who's produced some great saves already in this game. Can he find another one against the Argentinian? Into the top corner, top draw penalty. Barcelona right back in this game. Guardado now gives it to the substitute, Teo once again, looking to take on Alba. Lo Celso. Oh, it's a disaster for Ter Stegen, who didn't really get behind it. And Betis restore their two-goal lead. A brief moment for Barca to switch off, and Ter Stegen couldn't prevent it from sneaking in at the far corner. That's the pass that Barca wanted. Munir lays it off Vidal, stretching to stab it home. The Betis keeper looks for an offside flag that hasn't come, and the Chilean halves the deficit, and once again Barca are back in this. Valio does well to step away from the initial challenge. Lo Celso has got Vidal nipping at his heels. He gets away from him, but is caught by Rakitic, who's got to be careful here because it's a second yellow. It's red for Rakitic, and Barca are down to 10 men. Still might concede here, though. Suarez, Vidal, flag stays down. Messi! It's now gone up on the far side. The referee's assistant, VAR's having a look upstairs as well. And the goal does stand. And that is the full-time whistle. A first loss in 43 in La Liga on home soil for Barcelona. Betis hold on. The final score at the Camp Nou here on 11 Sports. Barcelona 3, Betis 4.
So that's how it went down on 11 Sports in the UK. To make things worse for Barcelona, they'd won all previous nine home meetings with Betis in all competitions, but this was the first time they'd lost at home to anyone in La Liga since September 2016. It was a first league win for Betis at the Camp Nou since 1998, and the first time ever that they'd scored four goals there. So a shock result in so many ways, not just for how Betis have suddenly clicked and are scoring, but also how poorly Barcelona played overall and just kept pressing the self-destruct button. Let's chat with La Liga legend Román Derqued. Román, where did it all go wrong for Ernesto Valverde's side on Sunday evening?
I think self-destruction defines Sunday's Barcelona really well. Collectively, the team wasn't in sync at all when defending, and Betis managed to exploit that. In the first two goals, you can see how just a few players were trying to stop the opposition, while the rest were closer to the midfield than to their own area. The team wasn't working as a block, but completely split apart. So Betis' quick counter-attacks were demolishing for Barca, and players like Busquets or Rakitic were unable of stopping the siege and winning the battle in the midfield. In the second half, the home team looked much better, but this time it wasn't more about the individual errors rather than the collective ones. Ter Stegen was incapable of blocking a relatively simple Lo Celso shot, and then Rakitic got sent off when Barca were looking for their third goal to equalize the game. So not even Messi's return with two goals was enough to stop Setien's men.
And Román, what about Betis? Are they really back to their old selves for good? And how come?
It's risky to say they're back for good, but Setien deserves credit for sticking to his game plan. His formation with five at the back was ideal to deactivate Barca. Those two deep and offensive fullbacks were key in grabbing that deserved win. Jordi Alba's pace was generally quick enough to confront Tello, but Sergi Roberto on the other side had a really tough time with Junior Firpo. When Betis were counter-attacking, Junior had plenty of space, and as a matter of fact, three of the four goals originated on that left side. But the team also benefited from William Carvalho's improvement and Lo Celso's incursion into the starting 11. The Portuguese midfielder was wonderful, always cool and composed, and making the right passes to the right players at the right time. That's definitely the version Betis expected when they signed him this summer. On the other hand, Lo Celso was sneaking in behind the Barca midfield and causing a lot of trouble in quick transitions. Definitely two players Setien is going to count on very often to help them win games.
Thanks, Román. And so to the chasing pack, and what a game at the Wanda. This was a pulsating encounter throughout. There were rarely any let-up in the pace and intensity. The context, well, having been held away to Leganés last weekend, it was imperative that Atletico Madrid beat Athletic Club so as not to lose further ground on Barcelona. And they did, just by 3-2. But they very much did it the hard way. And Mikel San Jose's strike was tipped onto the frame of the goal by Jan Oblak, but it bounced back down his goal line for Iñaki Williams to tap in for 0-1. They held on to that lead until half time, but Thomas Partey's pile driver from 30 yards out just after the hour was a more than worthy equaliser. But parity lasted just 3 minutes as Iker Muniain's delightful through ball was latched onto by Williams, and he beat Oblak, and Diego Godin pulled his hamstring while trying to chase the Athletic forward. Just remember that. But Diego Simeone had already used all his substitutes, so Godin had to stay on the pitch. He went up front. Atleti got their second equaliser courtesy of a Thomas corner headed in by Rodri for his first goal for the club. But time for one more twist. Godín was fouled by Unai Núñez for a free kick, taken by Thomas, hooked into the six-yard box by Saúl, flicked on by Antoine Griezmann for Godín himself to head past the Athletic keeper Iago Herrerín in stoppage time. Just heroic, 3-2 the final score. Just absolutely defies description. Let's have a chat with our man in Madrid, Ewan McTeer. Ewan, I mean, incredible spirit for Atleti to come back twice, and with their injuries, of course, as well, including now Diego Godín. So how on earth do you explain it?
I can't explain it, David. Nobody can. The opening line of Alberto Arbero's match report from Marca, for example, was the following. This report cannot explain what happened at the Metropolitano. The next 1,000 you read won't be able to either. It was such a strange game. Not only were Atletico Madrid involved in a 5-goal thriller, which is rare for Diego Simeone's 1-0 lovers, but the goal scorer was an injured centre-back playing as a centre-forward, and the centre-back pairing was made up of midfielders Saúl Ñíguez and Thomas Partey. There is no logic to what happened. This was just meant to be.
You've got to talk about a couple of specific players. Thomas, who was involved in all three goals, but also Diego Costa, who was subbed at half-time. What's going on there?
Yeah, Thomas was superb, just as he was on Tuesday night against Borussia Dortmund. There were rumours a few weeks ago that he was wanting to leave Atletico because because of lack of playing time, but he's been used more and more in recent weeks and has formed a very strong partnership in central midfield with Rodri. I'd confidently state that Thomas and Rodri is a better partnership than Saul and Rodri, which is good as it means Saul can be used further up the pitch. As for Costa, well, he hasn't scored a goal in the league since February 25th. That's 259 days. He only has three this season in other competitions. In this game specifically, he'd only just come back from injury, but his form is a problem.
And while we've got you with us, Ewan, what's your take on what is happening with Athletic Club? They're going to the international break only above the relegation zone on goal difference. So what now for Toto Berizzo?
It's really not a good situation for them, and to have gone 11 matches without a victory is really frustrating for the Athletic fans. In fact, it's a club record. But one positive is the performance he put together at the Wanda Metropolitano against Atletico. As Iñaki Williams said, we played almost perfectly and deserved much more, so this hurts. So the performance was better, and there have been some positive signs under Berizzo. But at a historic club like Athletic, they need more than these little positive crumbs. I think he's on a very, very hot seat.
Cheers, Ewan. And while Atletico cozied up to Barcelona, so did Alaves, and they too had to turn around their game to do it. A game at home to Huesca, which shouldn't really have posed them too many problems, but the La Liga first-timers have improved of late under their new coach, Francisco. They turned up at Mendizorroza in a 5-4-1 formation. They got the first goal on 35 minutes, courtesy of a Moy Gomez low drive from just over 20 yards out, which wasn't dealt with at his near post by Antonio Cibera. A bad error, but Alaves were level before half-time. Gomez with a deep cross, Johnny with the far post header, and then the winner was down to a big mistake from Rubén Semedo. He simply gave the ball away trying to clear his lines, but found substitute Rubén Sobrino, who fired home left-footed with the help of the slightest of deflections from Jorge Pulido. So Alaves pick up yet another win in their extraordinary season. Abelardo said he never dreamt of having 23 points at this stage, but that it's reality, and they have to enjoy it while also carrying on working with humility. Huesca have now led in both of their last two games, but come away with only 1 point out of six. Francisco bemoaning his team's injuries, but he said that they wouldn't give up because teams that are accumulating points now won't be later in the season. Now, the other team breathing down Barcelona's neck and on 23 points along with Atletico and Alaves are Sevilla. And again, another comeback here as they beat Espanyol 2-1. Borja Iglesias, who else, gave Espanyol the lead just before the break. Lovely build-up from Didac Milan to Sergio Garcia. A cheeky reverse pass to Sergi Darda, and Borja then nipped it in at the near post. That is his fifth goal in the last four in La Liga and seventh overall. But Sevilla's equaliser came on 70 minutes. It was the simplest of goals, really. A corner swung in by Ever Banega, and Gabriel Mercado got away from his marker, Esteban Granero, and just tapped in for 1-1. And then with time running out, Andre Silva fought for the ball, found Ever Banega, whose precise through ball was latched onto by substitute Wissam Ben Yedder, who nipped it past Diego Lopez. A 50th goal for Sevilla in just 101 games for Ben Yedder, and the winning goal as well. Well, afterwards, Pablo Machin spoke about playing with head and heart, and that Sevilla fans would be happier starting their working week after a performance like that. While the Espanyol coach Rubi said that they were, on the one hand, sad not to have held on and won, but on the other, said it was one of his proudest days in charge of the team. Well, this was our Partidazo Predictions choice on YouTube just before the weekend. Do check out our channel by heading to youtube.com/C/LaLigaLowdown, or simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. It was only Roman who got the result right, if not the scoreline. So he adds a single point to his tally. No one else gets anything. So here are the overall standings. Paco Polit has 13 points. Ewan has 12. Roman moves on to 7, whereas Alex Johnson and myself both have just the 5 points. That's it for part 1 of this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod. Plenty more to come, though, as we discuss Real Madrid extending their winning streak under Santi Solari away to Celta, and have Valencia turn the corner. That's coming up in a couple of ticks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redisa Karnov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157. So four games covered, six more to come. We've dealt with the teams who were in the top five heading into the weekend. So now to the rest. And what a game we had at Balaidos as Real Madrid made it four wins from four in all competitions under Santi Solari, beating Celta Vigo 4-2 away from home. And talk about contrasting fortunes. The result ensured that Solari would stay on at the Bernabeu, but also signalled the departure of Antonio Mohamed, the Celta Vigo coach, which we'll discuss in a moment. But Karim Benzema inspired Los Blancos, helping them get their noses in front and stay in front. There were a couple of other belting goals in this game too.
Last May, Real Madrid thumped Celta 6-0. Benzema onside and scores. Whoa, sharp finishing from Karim Benzema. Three goals inside two games for the Frenchman.
It's sharp play from Benzema. He goes short, spins in behind. Outstanding first touch. Just slots it past Sergio Alvarez. Real Madrid get themselves into the lead.
Aspas. Good run from Mayo. What a finish. Well, there is the quality. That was a very difficult technique to perfect from the captain. Lovely run from the right back. Boy, what a finish.
No fluke about that whatsoever. Straight off the instep. Great technique. A super goal for Celta Vigo. Game back on again.
Here's Ceballos. Oh, I say. How about it from Dani Ceballos? Stand and admire.
It's a brilliant finish from Dani Ceballos. Drives in towards the Celta Vigo defence. Head down. Great technique. Beat Sergio Alvarez, all ends up.
Of course, every silver lining has a cloud, and that cloud at the Bernabeu right now is injuries, as all of Casemiro Reguilón and Nacho hobbled off injured, replaced by Dani Ceballos, Javi Sanchez and Marco Asensio respectively. And Nacho is out for a couple of months with damaged right knee ligaments. It might only be 3 weeks for Casemiro though with an ankle strain, but really not an ideal situation. And while Santi Solari has now been given the Real Madrid job after four straight wins in all competitions, 15 goals scored, two conceded, somewhat suddenly Celta have parted company with Antonio Mohamed. His La Liga record reading: played 12, won 3, drawn 5, lost 4. So not exactly disastrous, and the Portuguese Miguel Cardoso has been named as his replacement. Alex Johnson was at this game at Balaidos. Alex, how much of a surprise is Mohamed's departure, and what do we know about the new man, Cardoso?
It was a bit of a surprise that it came the very second it did, but not that it did come. A few lucky results and individual brilliance from his players is what has kept Antonio Mohamed around this long. 4-0 against Eibar is a perfect example. Looks great on paper, it did not on the pitch. It was just Iago Aspas. This is the first time Carles Mourinho sacks a coach in the middle of the season, which says a lot. 12 match rounds in might sound harsh, but there have been no sight of a game plan. His training methods have been described as old school and out of date. Miguel Cardoso is a coach that Celta have had their eyes on before, and the fact that they already had him ready shows that this was not an overnight decision. He started coaching in Porto's academy, had been assistant at Celta's main rival Depor, been at Shakhtar Donetsk, but made his biggest mark with Rio Ave in Portugal, taking them to the Europa League. This is a smart man with brilliant language skills who likes an offensive type of football that should suit Celta's squad perfectly.
Thanks, Alex. Well, three teams are directly behind Real Madrid on 17 points, so let's take you through their games. And not a huge amount to say about the match at the Estadio José Zorrilla, which finished Real Valladolid 0, Eibar 0. Fabián Orellana was probably Eibar's best player, twice denied by the Valladolid keeper Jordi Masip, while Charles spurned a great chance to make it 1-0 to the visitors, and Anaïs Arbia was sent off for two yellow cards. Despite that setback, Eibar coach José Luis Mendilibar said that his side were more comfortable than Valladolid, but that it was a good point. Valladolid's Sergio González said they were struggling to score and that it's a worry for everyone. Well, it's true. They are the joint second lowest scorers in Spain's top division, but they're still seventh in the table. And in eighth are Levante. That's despite losing 3-1 at home to Real Sociedad. A deflected strike from centre-back Chema giving them the lead, but La Real turned this one around in the space of 10 second half minutes. Adnan Januzaj scooped the ball over the top for Mikel Oyarzabal to cut back from the byline. Theo Hernandez sweeping home the equaliser. Januzaj then directly assisted the visitor's second, a shot on the turn from sub Juanmi, and the third was a lovely bit of combination play between Oyarzabal and his give and go with Juanmi, and then a deft finish past Oyer. Just goes to show, when Asier Garitano's side want to turn on the style, they absolutely can. Bizarre thing is, they can't do it at home, where they still haven't won, picked up just 3 points, while away they've got 13 points in all. For Paco López Levante, not only did it halt their 5-match unbeaten run, but they'll also miss José Luis Morales and José Campaña for the next game after picking up a fifth booking. There was another goalless draw between Girona and Leganés, but it wasn't a bad game at Montilivi in the end. First half was a bit dull, but it did open up in the second. Jonathan Silva headed an Alan Yom cross against the post. Then Borja Garcia played in Joko Lozano, whose shot also came back off the frame of the goal. Cristian Stuani put the rebound over, and Lega had one last chance through Michael Santos, but Bono saved. His opposite number, Pichu Cuellar, was taken off injured, replaced by Andre Lunin, who's on loan from Real Madrid. Both sides will be hoping the international break will allow them to recover a few injured players. Get this, it is back-to-back wins in all competitions for Valencia for the first time since May. After their 3-1 victory at home to Young Boys in the Champions League in midweek, they went to the Coliseum Alfonso Pérez and beat Getafe by a single goal to nil. It perhaps could and should have been more comfortable, and would have been if Rodrigo Moreno had put away his countless chances. He's been far from the clinical player we saw at Valencia last season. But the visitor's goal led a bit of a charmed life too. Twice in this game, Getafe hit the post, first through Leandro Cabrera and then through Jorge Molina, but in the 81st minute, Valencia were awarded a penalty after sub Kevin Gameiro was pulled back in the box, a decision made by the VAR, and Dani Parejo beat David Soria from 12 yards out. Utter relief for Marcelino's side. Let's discuss this further with our Paco Bolitz, who's been keeping a close eye on Valencia all the way through this season. Well, Paco, Francis Coquelin said it was the first time that they've got a VAR decision in their favour. So is that true? Is it justified? Have Valencia actually been that unlucky? And even more importantly, Paco, have they now turned the corner this season?
Actually, Coquelin has a point regarding VAR refereeing being nasty towards Valencia this season, but I guess that's life, and eventually things will improve. In fact, Valencia have been off the mark rather than unlucky. Take as an example their last three games, more or less consistent performance, but against Young Boys, Santi Mina unlocked the score thanks to his accuracy, whereas a few days earlier, Valencia lost because they were unable to score any clear chances against Girona and their goalie Bono. The game at the Coliseum followed suit. Rodrigo Moreno had 1, 2, up to 3 one-on-one chances in Getafe's goal and wasn't able to score. So it had to be Parejo from the penalty spot late in the second half, the one who got the winning goal. Valencia's form isn't top-notch, that's true, but it's slowly improving as they keep defending pretty tightly and allowing few, if any, goals. Once their shots on target get inside the goal, they should well be back on track to fight for European spots.
Thank you, Paco. And Paco has also been talking to Valencia fan Paul Odegaard about Los Che going forward and what is facing them in the coming weeks.
Okay, Rayo at home should be doable. Then Juventus away.
It's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. Maybe they're a bit more relaxed as well now. But Valencia really needs to take a point there. But it's a very grueling schedule ahead. And what will that do? Because it's also very tight. Many matches in a few days. Will that provoke injuries? If you have a bad match against Rayo, you get hammered against Juventus. What will that do with the confidence?
Well, that clip was part of our latest stadium sit-down, which we've done outside Mestalla. You can see the whole thing this week on our YouTube channel. Simply go to youtube.com/C/LaLigaLowdown, or simply put Liga Lowdown into your search engine. Make sure you subscribe and enable those notifications. Now, our final game to round up is the match at Vallecas between two struggling teams. And to be honest, the result didn't really help either of them. It finished Rayo Vallecano 2-2. 2, Villarreal 2. For both teams, they've got to take solace in their bright young players. Villarreal ahead after Samuel Chukwueze cut in from the right and rifled home for his first goal in La Liga. But a similarly talented player got Rayo back on terms. Raul de Tomas, on loan from Real Madrid, touching home Oscar Trejo's volley cross into the six-yard box. And then, Villarreal went in front as a shot from distance from de Tomas was parried by Sergio Asenjo, but straight to Alvaro Garcia, who finished emphatically. Still, Rayo couldn't hold on to get their first win in 10 games. Nicolas Ansona came off the bench, and on 80 minutes, he gave us an incisive run, a few step-overs, and a right-foot rocket into the bottom right-hand corner. Even despite Arba Gonzalez's red card for two yellows, that is how it finished. It means that Villarreal's winless league run extends to 6 games, and there were perhaps fateful words said from Villarreal head coach Javi Calleja afterwards. If they have to get rid of me, they'll do it, he said. And as for Michel, whose Rayo side haven't won now since mid-September, well, he said he had a lot of confidence in his work and his team, and if he were the problem, he would step aside, but that he thought Rayo would stay up with him as coach. We'll see how long Rayo and Villarreal persist with their current coaches, but lots to think about going into the international break. Well, time now for your three-word verdicts. Hashtag 6 seasons and a movie. I went for always watch Betis. Knew that one would come up this week. La Liga Gav chose Betis woken up. A Richard Cosmala's verdict. Oops, Ter Stegen. Yeah, that really gave Betis a new lease of life in that game, didn't it, at the Camp Nou? Our own Paco Bolita opted for senior, actually. A bit of an early noughties pop reference for you. Before we go, quick reminder of where you can find the rest of our content. Our Twitter feed is at La Liga Lowdown. We'll keep you across Spain's games in Croatia and at home to Bosnia-Herzegovina over the international break. Don't forget about our YouTube channel. Head to youtube.com/C/ La Liga Lowdown, or put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. We've got another stadium sit-down coming up this week at Valencia and Partidazo predictions as well. So subscribe to the channel, enable notifications. Our website, www.laligalowdown.com, has all of those bits and bobs, as well as this mini pod, which you can give a 5-star rating to if you so desire. Have a good international break. That's your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.